now, another Republican senator who was not only critical of Bush's war in Iraq, but still is. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel is one of the Bush administration's most outspoken, blunt, and respected critics of the war in Iraq. He's a decorated Vietnam veteran and a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And he's called the Iraq invasion a ping-pong game with American lives and one of the greatest blunders of American history. Now he's written a book calling for U.S. foreign policy makeover. He wants America to reintroduce itself to the world. On the home front, he wants fresh ideas, too, maybe even a new political party. The book is called America, Our Next Chapter. Senator Hagel, thank you so much for being on Fair Game.
Hey, thank you.
Now, did you hear about this this mess with Cindy McCain's recipes?
I did, and I do not do recipes. I thought your creative substitutes were worthy of note. And I'm sure the McCains will carefully consider what you have noted.
Yeah, those no-bake cookies sounded delicious, didn't they?
Well, you do have to be very careful when you're dealing with any of these issues, and recipes we're finding out are no different.
Now, Senator, you were a radio host back in college, I understand.
Yes, I had no talent, Faith, and I had to find work elsewhere.
Well, is it good to be back in front of the mic, at least?
I love it. Of course, it's, you know, you've got all those people captive out there, and they, at least you believe they are, and hanging on your every word. It's a dream for a politician to envision all that. But I love going in radio studios because not only all the revolutionary technologies that have come about, but there is nothing quite like the imagination of radio, and I still think it's the most riveting medium out there.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice to hear. That's so few people think that way anymore. They're all about YouTube, so thank you. So on to your book. You say America's next chapter might need to include a new party system, and in your book you compare the partisanship of today to the 1850s, when a few politicians splintered off to create a new party, your party, the Republican Party. And you write, "I'm not sure we're quite at that point, but on the other hand, I'm not so sure we're not." So are you saying that neither party, you know, not the Republican Party nor the Democratic Party, is serving the American people well today?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think when you, for example, look at the Gallup poll numbers from yesterday, a historic, unprecedented 83% of the American people say we're going in the wrong direction. Now, what that really says is, and by the way, those numbers have been very high in the 70s for the last year and a half. What it says is, as much as anything, is the political process, the political parties, our leaders, including myself, all of us elected, have failed and disconnected from the American people and their expectations that they have for their leaders to fix the problems in our country. And when that happens, politics is like any other accountable institution. Then there will exist some new options and new opportunities. And when a political party or a leader becomes irrelevant, in a sense, then the people will look for something new, something different. And political parties are about self-correction. Elections are certainly about self-correction. And I don't know if a third party is evolving, or a fragmentation, or a new independent candidate for president may show up in 4 years. I don't know, but I think there is something going on out there, and the two parties are going to have to pay attention to that, because they will find themselves irrelevant, and the American people will then cast about and find an alternative.
Are you disenchanted with being a Republican?
I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed in my party. It is not the party that I first voted for when I cast my first ballot on top of an armored personnel carrier in the Mekong Delta in 1968. It's not the party of Dwight Eisenhower. It's not even the party of Ronald Reagan. Now, parties are living organisms. They're movements. They shift and they maneuver around. Leadership, of course, has a lot to do with that. I'm hoping that my party will come back. Enough of us will force us back into, first of all, fiscal accountability, fiscal responsibility. Here we have presided, my party, over government for most of the last 8 years, having the White House for the last 8 years, most of control of Congress the last 8 years, but yet we have run up a third of the nation's debt, national debt, in the last 7 years. And so many of the tenets, base of the Republican Party, at least philosophically, the party that I first belonged to, we've come loose of our moorings, and I think that has disturbed many Republicans.
Now, you stand out among Republicans, of course, for your criticism of the Iraq War. And before we talk about your stance, I really want you to share the story of where your feelings about war come from. Will you please talk about what happened to you on March 26, 1968?
My brother Tom and I served together in Vietnam in 1968. And on that particular date that you note, we were both wounded together. And that wasn't my first experience in combat. My first real experience in combat was a Tet Offensive. But that day, as we were going through the jungles and on an ambush patrol, being hit in an ambush, saw people die and people seriously wounded. When you go through that kind of experience, and then we went through a similar experience about 6 weeks later when we were wounded again, shapes you, it frames you, it molds you. And serving in Vietnam for 1 year in 68, which is our highest casualty year, I did start to shape opinions and judgments on war from the bottom up, not the top down. I was a rifleman. I eventually became a sergeant and a squad leader, but I carried a rifle the whole time I was there, as did my brother. So I saw war from its most difficult perspective, where there is nothing but suffering. That doesn't mean that a nation shouldn't commit its military when they believe it's the right thing to do and there is no other option. Certainly military power is an important power, but it must always be used very wisely, very carefully. Easy to get into wars, but pretty hard to get out of them. And there's always human suffering, a lot of it.
Senator, there are plenty of veterans in the Republican Party. Now, granted, many congresspeople on both sides of the aisle voted for the war authorization. But even certainly John McCain knows firsthand suffering of war. Why do you think that your stance, your critical stance of the war has been so exceptional among members of your party?
Well, I've always tried to reflect on explaining my position on why I vote the way I do. And I've always tried not to ascribe motives or try to psychoanalyze anyone else. And I say that before I answer your question, because I can't answer for John McCain. Mm-hmm. He is a very, very close friend of mine. And there's no one in the Senate I respect more. And we spent some time last week together. Our offices are next to each other. Our desks on the Senate floor are next to each other. I kid people that I get combat pay for being next to McCain. but I can only reflect from my perspective. And I never question the motives of anyone else who disagrees with me on this. John has a different perspective. He has a different view, which is bigger and more comprehensive than just, I think, Iraq. My view toward the world, on our foreign policy position, our position in the world, our use of all our instruments of power, is one that's more cautious than John's. I suppose that starts from maybe our personalities. I don't know. It probably has something to do with our own personal experiences in war. But I can only account for my position.
Now, looking ahead to this year's presidential election, there's a pretty stark choice between Senator McCain's, you know, who's an avid supporter of the Iraq War, and Obama and Clinton's, both of whom advocate a phased withdrawal in the near term. And your position would seem to be closer to the Democrats. Is that fair to say?
I think that's right. I have said this personally to all three candidates, said it publicly, that once the Democratic nominee is chosen, then the two party nominees are going to have to present to America their view of what they see should be America's foreign policy, what their foreign policy would be, including Iraq, including Afghanistan, including our use of military. When would you use military? Why would you use it? How would you use it? All those things need to be not just framed up in a wider lens perspective, but also some specificity to it. John has not done that yet. He will do that. Obviously, the nominee for the Democratic side hasn't done it yet, and it's not, in my opinion, sufficient just to say, well, I would have the troops out of there in 16 months. That's not a policy. That's a goal, but how would you do that? How would you deal with our allies? How would you relate that to our other bases in the Persian Gulf and in Kuwait? How logistically could you make that work? All the things that are part of a framing a larger foreign policy. And I think generally, though, to your question, yes, I have said we need to disengage in Iraq. Yes, we need to find a responsible, accountable, honorable way out of Iraq. We know we can't sustain the rate of redeployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. Our generals have already told us that. We're wearing down our army. Our vice chief of staff of the army told the Congress that 2 weeks ago. We're not just straining the army, but we're starting to do damage to our army now and the Marines.
Senator Hagel, we need to take a break, so please hang on just a moment. In a minute, I want to talk to you about why you'd put your mom on your personal Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Also coming up, the screenwriter who wrote Fletch and Blazing Saddles. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm talking with Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel about his new book, America, Our Next Chapter. Senator Hagel, you mentioned that your office is right next door to Senator McCain's, which gives him an awful lot of opportunity to ask if you might want to possibly be a vice presidential candidate after you leave office. Has that happened?
No. That would be a way too combustible arrangement.
Between the two of you?
Yes, that would not be in the best interest of America.
Maybe that'd be healthy, though.
Well, it could be. Our relationship is a great relationship the way we have it.
Now, in your book, you write about your personal Mount Rushmore, great leaders you think deserve to be etched in stone, and you choose Dwight Eisenhower for his pragmatism and diplomacy, and you put the late, great legislator, Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, on the rock for his intellect and charm, and you forgot to mention his adorable glasses. And then finally, you add your mom to Mount Rushmore, and I will go ahead and let you explain why you'd like to do that.
Her example and the example of millions of everyday common people like my mother who changed the fabric of our country so much for the better need to be recognized. And I've always believed that we who get some attention in public life or whatever other area or dimension of lives that reflects some sunlight on us overshadow those who really are the underpinning elements and people of our country, and my mother certainly represents that that group of people.
Did your mom get to see you be a senator?
Yes. She and her sisters, she's one of six girls, campaigned very actively all over Nebraska for me in 1996 with their little T-shirts, and she had her own little placard on the convertibles and parades. It was Chuck's mom, and she loved it. And then when I was reelected in 2002, and since we're talking about my mother, I'll just take one point of pride here. I was reelected by the greatest majority that anyone's ever been reelected or elected in the state of Nebraska. I was reelected with 83% of the vote.
Wow.
2002. And she died 3 weeks after I was sworn in for my second term.
I'm glad she got to see you be sworn in.
Yes.
And if Betty Hagel were to put a recipe on your website, what would it be?
I think it would be Polish sausage.
Ooh, yum. My producer's giving
fantastic.
That a thumbs up. He's from the Midwest.
Is he? Well, he knows about it. My mother, every Easter, learned from her mother, whose parents and many of her brothers and sisters came from Poland, That was the tradition, Polish sausage, and it was all homemade. And then I can make it. I've made it over the years, but my mother made it and did a spectacular job. And I don't know, that was just part of the family lore, and it was as good as anything I've ever had. And that would be authentic, real Hagel family recipes.
Now, Senator, you declared when you started in the Senate in 1996 that two terms would be enough for you, and you've been true to your word. You're leaving the Senate this year, much to the disappointment of many people. Why?
It is for me. 12 years in the Senate, certainly the most significant privilege of my life, which I have enjoyed. I really have enjoyed it, and it's been enriching to my family and to me. But I want to go do some other things. Maybe I'll have an opportunity to help shape and influence this country and in some other positions. I don't know. But it's the time. It's a good time for me to leave. The jobs I've had in my life, and I've had many of them, I always kind of put a time frame on them. And I say, whether it was president of the World USO, president of Private Sector Council, whatever it was, my own companies I started, there's a time to leave. I want to leave on top. I want to leave feeling good. I want to leave not despondent or bitter. And I can honestly say that now. Am I concerned about our country? Sure I am. We all are. But this is all those pieces came together and it was the right decision.
You're like the senator equivalent of the TV show Seinfeld or Friends. You're leaving on top.
Well, I don't know. Some people would take issue with that, but some people, I'm just damn glad he's getting out. He's been a bum.
More time to make sausage, Senator.
Yes, that's true. I don't know how much downtime I'll have. My wife has said every time I think about it, well, I may just not do anything for a few months, and she laughs heartily and merrily and gives me the cookbook.
Senator Hagel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Faith. I appreciate it very much.
Chuck Hagel is the senior Republican senator from Nebraska. His new book is called America, Our Next Chapter. For more about him, please visit our website, morefairgame.org.